Hey everyone, this is Johnny. I'm here for just to introduce a special episode of Radio Free Nintendo that was originally recorded long before RFN even existed, actually. I recently was digging around on my hard drive for something else related to the site, and I found some MP3s from 2001 that I recorded before and during and after E3 of 2001. I honestly had no idea that these existed. I barely remember recording these at all. The interesting thing is that it's just me talking into a microphone on my crappy-ass computer back then, basically talking about E3 and the experience. It was my first year going. It was my second year at E3, but my first going as part of the website, as part of Planet GameCube, which of course eventually became Nintendo World Report. And I don't know why I got the idea to do it back then, but I'm really glad I did, and I'm glad that this stuff still exists, because I thought I was listening to this and laughing at it the whole time and thinking that I accidentally recorded a podcast before the word podcast even existed. And I can't imagine that that very many people actually listened to this back when I first posted it at the time. And I thought most of you, most of our listeners of RFN have never heard this stuff. Again, I hadn't heard it in a decade. And I just got a kick out of it. So I thought, hey, let me cram it all together and stick it on a special episode and, you know, just see what people think. Maybe you'll enjoy it. It is a kind of a weird blast from the past. It's like a time capsule. And, you know, as we come up on, I mean, keep in mind, 2001 was when GameCube was first shown, so we hadn't seen the games, we hadn't really seen the controller at that point. It was a really exciting time going into that E3, and it was also right before Game Boy Advance was launched, so it was a big deal. That was the year that we were doing our Planet GameCube DVD, so we were very busy, had a big crew there, and it was my first time meeting the staff in person. And really feeling like I was part of the team. So it was a big time, and I think you can draw a lot of parallels to the situation we're in now, going into E3 2011 with you know, the new Nintendo console probably being shown there in some form, and with Nintendo 3DS just coming out, and looking at the sort of first post-launch games for that. So anyway, if you're not interested in this old stuff, in hearing me and my funny southern accent before it was drowned out by hanging out with people who weren't from the south, if you're not interested in hearing about old E3s or games that have obviously been out for a long time, then don't listen to the rest of this. We'll of course we'll be on schedule with the next normal episode of RFN, but I just thought some of you might enjoy it as much as I did. So anyway, hope you enjoy it. Let us know. The email address, of course, is rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, or you can leave your comments in the talkback at the website. Thanks.
Hey, everyone. This is Jonathan Metz, JohnnyBoy117, previews editor for PlanetGameCube.com. I'm starting what will hopefully be a series of audio diary entries or, you know, whatever, for E3. I'm currently at home in Alabama, and we're packing and getting ready for E3. Our flight leaves out this afternoon, and we're pretty jazzed about it. I'm actually really tired. it's been a crazy week getting ready for all this, but it looks like it's all coming together really nicely. And oh, that was the musical stylings of my friend Matt Hogan. He's going to be my traveling partner for this trip. You probably don't know him, but me and Matt have been friends for a long time, since we were actually real little. And he's an old-school Nintendo RPG fan, mostly, I would say. He's the kind of guy that would know most of Dragona's questions in Planet Trivia, the ones that you hate. And right now, he's mainly a PC gamer, and he dabbles in the Dreamcast a little bit.
I'd say it's a bit more than dabbles.
Yeah, supposedly he's quite the Samba de Amigo freak. We'll find out at our little tournament Wednesday night. But anyway, that's him. He's a cool guy. He is, we're going to be traveling together. How am I feeling about E3 right now? I'm not actually thinking about it very much. I think when you you know, we've literally been getting ready to do all this for a year. The preparations have go back way back. And I think as you get closer to the show, your focus on details narrows more and more as you go. So at this point, I'm concerned about, like, remembering my badge and, you know, little tiny things like that. Making sure I get some eye drops so my eyes don't get dried out when I'm looking at those plasma TV screens all day. And if it's anything like last year, it won't be till I'm actually on the plane that my scope kind of broadens itself out more and I actually get a feel for, oh my God, I'm on the plane to E3. I'm about to meet all these people that I work with, and I'm going to play GameCube in 2 days. That has not hit me yet, and even when I think about it, it still sounds kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense yet. So it'll hit me whether I want it to or not, probably here in about 6 hours. Right now, the thing I'm most anticipating about E3 is the most immediate thing, which will be getting in really late tonight and meeting all these people that I work with. I mean, I really don't know what to expect. The only guy there from Planet GameCube that I already know and I've met before is Billy. I met him last year, and that's actually part of the story of how I came to actually work here, was meeting him at E3 last year. The rest of them, you know, I've talked to pretty much all of them on a regular basis online, but I've never met them, and most of them I don't even know what they look like. And I'm kind of anxious about that. It's going to be really weird, you know, but it's going to be awesome too, because I hope that, you know, we'll all get there and we'll start to connect the physical manifestations with the online personalities that we know, and they'll become one person. And it might take a few minutes, but it's going to be great when it happens. It's like meeting your friends for the first time. You know, it's a bizarre thing. Matt's playing Super Metroid right now, if you can hear him in the background.
I can turn it up if you want.
He hasn't played it in a long time, and I happen to have a copy. Looks like he's playing my file because he's in Turian.
Well, I didn't want to start over.
Yeah, he didn't want to start from the beginning. See, now he's got all the cool equipment that he wouldn't have to earn otherwise.
You've got to remember how to play first.
I tell you what, Mother Brain on this one is a lot easier than Mother Brain on the original.
I've got to remember how to switch to missiles.
R.
R? Ah!
Yes. So anyway, I guess that pretty much wraps this up. It looks like this is going to clock in at just about 5 minutes, which is great. So keep an eye out for on our show. And I should have another one of these diaries probably tomorrow morning before we go to the big Nintendo press conference. This is Jonathan Metz, Previews Editor, signing out.
Hey, it's Jonathan Metz with the entry number 2 about my audio E3 diary thing. don't shut up. We are in the hotel now. It's about midnight 30, I guess. And our plane arrived a little bit early. Plane flights were pretty regular. Nothing really interesting happened, I guess, which is both good and bad. Good in that we didn't crash, mainly. We are about to turn off the TV, I hope, and go to sleep. I think we're both pretty tired. By our time, it's like 3 in the morning right now. And I for one, got up at 8, so it's been a long day. We've met pretty much all the PGC people. I think Max's brother is not here yet. Tagueo didn't get to come, but everyone else is here, and everyone's really cool. It's strange. I think I described it to Max as it's like converging of two dimensions. You know, it's strange. All these people are running around, and we can't figure out whether to call each other by our real names or our internet names. And I'm not even sure what to call people. And even to be looking at a real person and calling them by this name that I've known for a long time, you know, and seeing on my screen and chat rooms and stuff is bizarre. There's no other word to describe it, but, you know, everyone's been really cool. I don't know if I could say it's like I expected right now. I didn't really know what to expect, but so far it's gone really well. Gosh, I'm tired. Billy got in finally, gave us our business cards, and they're really cool. We got some free ones because they screwed up the order, so we're gonna get the real ones tomorrow sometime. And I'm amazed at the Game Boy Advances that are here. I've only gotten to see one at the store, and all they have is the Japanese version of Castlevania, and it's mind-blowing. And to think that I'm going to be playing games even more impressive than that in English in a couple of days is amazing, and that doesn't even get into the GameCube situation, which I haven't even started to think about yet, really. Right now, I guess I'm really craving two things. I'm craving the internet because I don't have a computer here, and I haven't been able to steal anybody else's for long enough to actually get online. So I'm in withdrawal, which means, yes, I'm a true junkie, as many of you are probably if you're hearing this right now. And I'm also craving sleep. And if I don't shut up pretty soon, I think Matt's craving for sleep is going to bring us to physical violence. So I'll end it there, and hopefully I'll make the next entry after the press conference tomorrow, and then everything's different. So see you then. Hey, this is Jonathan Metz for the third edition, I think it is, of our E3 audio diary. And wow, today has been incredible. We got up way too early, in my opinion, to go to the convention center and get our badges. And I was actually really worried because I didn't get up as early as I thought I should have, mainly because we got in real late last night and we kind of missed the staff meeting where they plotted all that stuff out. So I had to rush through a shower and get dressed. Billy wanted us to dress nice for the press conference and stuff, so I had to get, you know, put on a tie and all that junk. And, man, we were rushing out the door and get out into Ed's car, and we're going to the convention center. I realize I don't have my papers and business cards and all that stuff that we thought you would have to have to get the media passes. But we got there, and it was cool. They, you know, it wasn't a problem. I just showed them my badge and my ID, and they gave me the badge holder, and that was that. So no hassle there. And we went on to the Biltmore Hotel for the Nintendo pre-E3 press conference. And we got there, I guess, about an hour and a half before it started, about an hour before they started seating us. And when we got there, they let us, we had to give them just one business card, and then they let us down to this little area where they had some cookies and juice and stuff like that. And actually, the cookies were really good. I read somewhere last year, I think, maybe Carl Johnson's E3 experience, but somebody said that the Nintendo cookies are like the best in the world. I don't know if I'd say that, but they were really good. That was about the only breakfast I had, so I was kind of hungry anyway. But basically, we spent about an hour standing around and talking to each other, getting to know each other a little better, and kind of hanging out, you know, talking about what was going on. We met some really cool people from Tech TV who were big fans of the site, as it turns out, and big Nintendo fans, and they were just talking about how Nintendo's just going to rip everyone else to shreds, and that was really, really cool. I got to meet Adam Sessler, who hosts Extended Play on Tech TV, and he was a real nice guy, and he knew about our site also. We met, are you seeing a trend here? We met this Nintendo PR guy named Tim Mulligan, and he congratulated us on the logo exclusive Sunday. And he said he loves the site. It was weird. I mean, for the first time, I'm kind of realizing what an influence we're having on this industry and the number of people that are reading us, and it's kind of crazy. But we met some really cool people, but mainly we just kind of talked with each other and just got more acquainted. And then they opened the floodgates and let everybody into the press conference room, and it was crazy. Everybody was pushing on each other. It was like a mob trying to get there. And we get there, and it's a race to get the best seats in the place, you know. And Max hung back in the back so he could take video for our PGC E3 video. Pre-order yours today. But the rest of us, pretty much all of us, got pretty close to the front. And the most striking thing when you went in there, there's two video screens on the left and one on the left and the right with some speakers. In the middle of this is this stage, and right in the middle of the stage is a podium with a GameCube in it and a controller. The new controller, which as it turns out looks exactly like the IGN mock-up that they put up the other day. The B button is smaller and it's red and it's a circle, and the start button is this little tiny gray button. Other than that, it looks exactly the handles are longer than they showed at Space World, but they're not like really long. They're not as long as I think that clay mock-up that Fran made at IGN. It's like a compromise, and it looks really comfortable. So a lot of us were going up to the stage and taking pictures of that, and in kind of an interesting symbolic thing, but there was no glass over the GameCube. It was just sitting on top of the podium in like a little nest they had made for it. It was just exposed, you know, and they were making sure that people didn't get up on the stage and try to touch it or anything like that. But we got some really cool pictures of it, and it looks a lot smaller than I kind of imagined it, I guess. You know, this is the first time I've actually seen one in person. The controller is like almost as big as the system, it looks like, and it's cool. So anyway, we got done with the pictures, and we kind of just sat down and started looking around, seeing all the people we could see. And there were a lot of Japanese people there. There were actually at least one Japanese TV show that I saw with this lady. She was talking and stuff, you know, and they had the cameras rolling and stuff. That was kind of weird. And finally, they started the show, and Peter Main comes out there and goes on about some sales figures and stuff like that everybody, you know, nobody really wanted to hear. And finally, they brought out Miyamoto-san and started showing some video footage. And the stuff is incredible. The very first game, the first GameCube game that we saw, the first one that Nintendo's really admitted to with video, was Super Smash Bros. Melee. And it's jaw-dropping. It looks like CG graphics. It looks like PlayStation FMV, better in some ways. And it's so fast. The special effects are everywhere. I mean, it's just like a visual orgy. All these characters, I mean, the princess is in there, Bowser, Ice Climber from like the really old Nintendo, you know, NES game. The only character that was noticeably absent was Luigi, and I can only figure he's a secret character, you know. Smash Brothers was incredible. They showed probably more video of it than any other game. And it just looks amazing. It's hard to even describe, because, I mean, Smash Brothers on N64 is incredibly fun, but the graphics aren't that impressive, you know. I mean, they kept them pretty simple to make the frame rate really good and all that stuff. This GameCube Smash Brothers, it had the best graphics of any game they showed. And, that says it all right there. Then they had Mr. Miyamoto demo the next Mario game, which is Luigi's Mansion, somewhat to our surprise. You know, judging by the silence, as soon as they said that and showed the Luigi's Mansion introduction, I think it kind of upset some people. But, man, but, you know, after about 5 minutes of showing this stuff, people were clapping and wooing and, you know, just going nuts over this game. It's really amazing. Unlike Smash Brothers, they actually booted up the system after they showed some video of it. Miyamoto pulled a system out, pulled a disc out of his pocket, put it in the system, and turned it on, and we actually got to see the GameCube work. I figured this was a display thing that they had up on that podium. It was a real working GameCube, and the controller worked and everything. And they had it hooked up to the display, and he was actually playing it. And the boot up sequence is so cool. The logo that Billy found on Sunday night, it's like an animated thing of that, and it's like these little cubes start dropping from the sky, and they form this shape, and then like this big fat cube drops in the middle, and that's the cube that you see in the logo, and then all the little cubes kind of merge together to form one solid block, and then it's the finished logo, and it's really fast. It looks so awesome, and immediately the title screen boots up. There's no load time. There's none. It's amazing. We were, you know, some of the people, I guess, probably didn't catch that, but we were, like, amazed. This is a disc. There's no load time. And title screen came up. There were a couple options. It looked like it was just the typical E3 demo kind of thing, where they set up a menu that you don't expect to be in the final game. But he picked one of the things and showed a few seconds of the introductory cutscene, and the graphics are awesome. I mean, it looks like a cartoon, you know. And then he hits start, and I mean, immediately goes to the game from the cutscene. There's no load time. It's stunning when you see it. And immediately the game starts up, and it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest game I've ever seen come out of his hands, because I mean, it's a Mario game, I guess, but it's not really a Mario game. It's more like, Ghostbusters or something. It's really dark and kind of creepy. It's very, almost like a mature Mario game, you know. It's curious that they use Luigi, but you go around with this flashlight and shine it in the face of these ghosts, and then you suck them up. And you can, you know, like, you see these little graphical hints that you've got ghosts around you, but if you don't pay real close attention, they'll pop up out of nowhere and scare the crap out of you. And when they touch Luigi, I mean, he goes into this hilarious animation, and his mouth drops open, and he screams, and you see, like, that's like where you see his top, you know, his uvula wave around like we saw in the Space World demo, but except this was... this was like real time. He's actually playing it, and he just totally freaks out when the ghost touches him, and he just he like scrambles all over the place, and it looked like he couldn't control him for a couple seconds, and then all of a sudden he's like on his butt scooting backwards, trying to get away from it as fast as possible, and I think at that point he was controllable, but it was probably really hard to control him because he was going real fast. You know, he was spooked. He wanted to get away from it, and the game is crazy. Then they showed Pikmin, which is almost indescribable. It's this weird, like, simulation, real-time strategy game that Miyamoto's making. It's the game called Cabbage, you know, that he's been working on forever. And this is finally it. You know, he's finally, I mean, it's almost complete, it looks like. And you're this little dude, and you have these little plant guys that follow you around, and you toss them at these different objects, and it's context sensitive. Whenever they land next to a certain object, they have a certain thing they do to it. Like if you throw it at a plant, they'll start to chop down the plant. If you throw it at a bridge, they'll start to cross the bridge. If you throw it at a rock, they'll pick it up. They'll pick up the rock. If you throw them at a wall, they'll start to break down the wall. So it's like a real-time strategy game with no commands. You know, the commands are what you toss these guys at, which is really cool. It's really simple. It works great. And the graphics look awesome. The little guys are like the little pigmen are like cartoon characters, but the environments are amazing. They're like photorealistic. The plants that when you walk through them, the plants kind of sway back and forth like you're walking through them. And they said they took the artwork data for the environments from like Mr. Miyamoto's backyard. The plants and the dirt and the grass and things like that. It's just amazing. And all three of those games, the Smash Brothers, Luigi's Mansion, and Pikmin are going to be playable tomorrow. They showed a lot of second party games after that. You know, Star Fox Adventures, Dinosaur Planet looks really cool. Graphically, it's not as polished as I would like, but you know, there's no telling what's coming out. I kind of doubt that it'll be out at launch. But that's looking good. And the Mickey Mouse game looks okay. It's kind of bland looking right now. But again, it could be very early. Donkey Kong Racing, which is of course the sequel to Diddy Kong Racing, actually looked really good. They mainly showed some pre-rendered stuff of it. Or what we are pretty sure is pre-rendered, but I mean the premise is great. It's like Diddy Kong Racing, but instead of the vehicles, you're on these different animals. So for the water stages, you're not on top of the water like in Diddy Kong Racing. You're under the water because you're riding on guard the swordfish, and so it's like it's water racing, but it's all 3D. It's like a submarine kind of thing. It looks like, and then the land races, they're all on rhinoceroses, you know, like Rambi, and there might have been some characters on Expresso the Ostrich, and then they had some flying stages like through a forest, and they're riding on this bumblebee or something like that. It all looked really cool, but that was a really short clip. They showed some stuff from Eternal Darkness, and they were the same exact sequences from the N64 version that I played last year. They were just kind of polished up graphically. And it was not the best looking game that they showed, so I'm wondering how long they've spent on it, or, you know, if they've got some more work to do cleaning it up, or if they're spending a lot of time adding new stuff to it that wasn't in the N64 version, I don't know. But, I mean, it looked good. It certainly looked better than the N64 version, but it wasn't up to par with, like, Smash Brothers. That's the graphical king of all the ones they showed. It just blew them all away, in my opinion. Metroid looks pretty cool. The stuff they showed I don't think any of it was actual gameplay. It had to be Fortnite, and it looked good at that. So, you know, it's hard to say anything about it. It's almost impossible that it's going to be playable at the show. But hopefully they'll have some different video than what we saw today, and we get a little more about it. And gosh, there were a bunch of other ones I can't even think of right now, and this is taking long enough. So I guess I can move on to, well, we got out of the press conference, and immediately we just wanted to update really bad. And if you've been going to the site today, you'll know we updated really bad. I mean, like, it's crazy. I think we've got 27 updates to the site as of right now, just for today. We found this internet cafe across the street where, like, it's $5 an hour to use their computers with the internet. And we had, like, five of them rented out for about 5 hours. And that's all we did. We had, like, and then we had people here in the hotel doing media stuff. So we had, like, 10 people updating for 5 hours straight. It was incredible. I mean, it was exhausting. We were working our asses off, but we got so much done. And the coolest thing was in that internet cafe. We're all sitting down around these computers, you know, and we're all doing different stuff, and we're discussing about the games and, you know, what this might mean and all this news, and we're trying to search through these press kits and get information out of them. The coolest thing, it was just like a Planet GameCube staff chat online, but it was reality. You know, it was like we were all talking the way that we talk online, and it's the same people. We're talking about the same stuff, or we're arranging work and discussing news and previews and things like that. But instead of it all being text, it's us sitting there actually talking to each other. It's absolutely amazing. And it didn't hit me until it was all over, really, what an amazing analog that is to the online world. And it was incredible. That, and we just, you know, finally, instead of these people being, you know, these strangers that I kind of know or something like that, all of a sudden, these are my staff members that I work with. You know, these are my friends. These are the people I talk to. All of a sudden, they're, you know, I think it was finally had convergence with the internet personalities and the real personalities. And finally, these people, I'm connecting, you know, and, they're the same people. And, man, once that hit, you know, it's clockwork, you know. All of a sudden, we're the Planet GameCube staff, and we're doing stuff just as awesome in real life as we do online when something crazy breaks out. And all of a sudden, everybody assembles, and we get it done. It was exactly like that. It's totally changed my perception of the people here, you know, and how it's all working out. So right now, we're waiting on pizza. We're all starving. Most of us have only eaten basically those cookies at the press conference today. I came back and had like some Slim Jims and some candy, but I haven't had any real food today, and I'm absolutely starving. So we're about to do that, and then probably update some more and get to sleep early because E3 starts tomorrow, baby. We got a hell of a lot of stuff to do. All this stuff that we're just, you know, gushing over today is going to be playable tomorrow. Well, a lot of it's going to be playable, and you know that's going to be a whole different ball game. Impressions tomorrow are going to be ridiculous. Everybody's going to have impressions of everything, and I can't wait. You know, so I guess I'll end it there because I'm really hungry, and I'll talk to you tomorrow probably. Peace out.
Hey everyone, this is Jonathan Metz clocking in for the fourth and final edition of my audio E3 diary. I wish I'd gotten to do this more during the show, especially after the first day, but things were a bit hectic, as I'm sure you all know, with our updating over a very small number of computers. That's called a bottleneck. GameCube doesn't have any. Just taking care of a lot of stuff, and especially most of all really being exhausted, absolutely exhausted after every day, made it fairly difficult for me to do anything like this. But needless to say, the show was fantastic. I came home Sunday evening. And it's now Wednesday, and I wanted to do this more along the lines of Sunday night or Monday morning, but again, massive updates since then, and starting a new job, summer job, and all kinds of other stuff have just kind of kept pushing it back. But I thought I'd say, you know, just a few things about how the show was overall, and what happened while we were there, and what it's like to come home to normal life after something as insane as E3 is, really. The first day, I picked back up on something I did last year, and I think it's probably going to have to be a new E3 tradition for me, and hopefully for some other people on Planet GameCube now that they've kind of gotten a taste of it. We got up extremely early that morning, Thursday morning, the first day of E3, and got to the convention center at 7 a.m. The show doesn't open till 10, so as you can imagine, we were the first people there at the doors closest to the Nintendo booth. They did have security people there. I can't imagine what time they got there. There weren't many when we arrived, but there were a few. And we camped out right by the door, and it was about a full hour until anyone else came. But we had a great time. We talked a lot. I took some books and stuff to read, but actually I didn't get any reading done because we had such great conversations and we got to know each other a lot better. John Lindemann, I found out, is a real big Pokemon pinball fan, so we had a lot to talk about, as I am also. And it was really cool, you know. The first day's Show Daily was already out, which is, if you don't know, is a magazine that they put out every single day of everything that's going on at E3. I thought they didn't cover Nintendo quite enough, especially for the impact that the GameCube had at the show. But there's still, it's something to do while you're waiting 3 hours for the show to start. About 8:30, 9 o'clock, a lot of people started showing up, getting ready. And by 9:30, there were probably getting on to about 1,000 people in the lobby waiting to get in. And we were at the very front. And all the stupidness and, you know, idiocy that you feel when you get there 3 hours early, being at the front starts to feel pretty good when you look back at 1,000 people in line behind you. And the further back you go, the more chaotic it gets, because the line actually only exists up towards the front. And as you get towards the back, it's more like a mass of people. And it's really bad. And I don't even want to know what it's like back there. And I don't plan on doing it next year either, getting back there and all that mess. All the people that went to the keynote arrived about 9:40, I guess, somewhere around there, and kind of skipped in line up to be with us. And I think they rather enjoyed that. So by the time they actually opened the doors, we had about 10 people there at the front of the line, and Planet GameCube was the first to Nintendo's booth, or at least the first media. It turns out that when we got there, they'd been letting exhibitors in all morning long, which is normal, because exhibitors have to go set up their booths and get things running and get ready for the onslaught at 10 o'clock. And unfortunately, a lot of exhibitors apparently don't care much for their own booths, because there were quite a few of them in Nintendo's booth when we got in there. And even being literally the first at the door, running full blast all the way to Nintendo's booth, I still had to wait through two other people before I could play Smash Brothers, which was my first game. But that's how it goes. You know, it wasn't a problem last year, but there are a lot more people this year and a lot more exhibitors. So, and you know, even business people want to play GameCube, so they got to get their shot at it too. Nintendo's booth was absolutely the most crowded thing I've ever seen in my life. There were points where you literally just had to stand there for 5 minutes and wait for the crowd to die down before you could walk any further. The problem is that they would have, for instance, kiosks for Star Fox Adventures on one side, Cameo Elements of Power on the other side. They'd be facing each other, and they'd be probably 10 or 15 feet apart, which seems like a pretty wide alley to walk through, until you realize that people are stacked up 5 or 6 people deep in line to play these games. Then you basically, it's a matter of stepping on people's feet and saying excuse me or screw you, get out of my way an awful lot to get where you want to go. That place was, it was simultaneously thrilling to watch that many people interested in GameCube, and at the same time it was kind of horrifying that it was that bad. And there were definitely some negative aspects to it. Even on the first day, I had to wait in line for 30 minutes to play Star Wars. And the line was so bad, it was so much worse the next day, that I actually didn't play it again until the third day, when they opened up a unit for it in the little merchandising section on a normal TV, and not as many people realized that it was there. And shoutouts to Rise for seeing that and telling us about it, so we could get a shorter line and I got to play it a little more. I'm not going to talk about the games that much. We're putting up impressions like Mad Men, and I've still got quite a few to do myself, actually. And I'm just a lot more eloquent in writing than I am talking, so I don't think I can do justice to games just talking about them like this anyway. So I want to concentrate on the show, really. we had a lot of appointments. It was a stark contrast to last year for sure. Last year I had one appointment, and that was a booth tour of Nintendo on the last day, which ended up being kind of silly because this lady took me around the booth and told me all this stuff about the games that I already knew. I mean, I'd been playing them for 3 days, and I knew a lot about them anyway before the show even started, so it was kind of a waste of time. This year the booth tour is a lot different because we found that when you're on the booth tour, you have priority over the people that are just waiting around to play the game, so they kind of scoot you up to the front and tell people to quit playing, and they let you play because you're on company time. And that's very nice in a booth as crowded as Nintendo's was this year. Last year it wasn't really an issue. You could walk up to Banjo-Tooie on any given day and play it all you want. Nobody was going to knock you off, and nobody was going to be waiting in line behind you. They had 10 units of it, and quite frankly, nobody was really that interested in it for whatever reason. And it was that way with a lot of games. The only game last year that would have been nice for was Mario Tennis. But, you know, I think everyone got to play that a lot anyway if they really wanted to. So anyway, we got to meet with a lot of companies, and if you ever go to E3 and make appointments, which I recommend that you do make some, they're definitely a lot of work to set up and to finalize and things like that. I've spent probably the past 2 or 3 months on the phone with publishers and developers, getting things ready for E3 and for the GBA launch, and it's been a lot of trouble, but some of the appointments turned out very, very well. I would say the ones with Interactive Imagination was really cool. Natsume was really cool. Nintendo, of course, that's kind of different though. That's their booth tour is a lot different than any other one, but just because it's so big. Acclaim worked out really well. We didn't even have a booth tour with them. We ended up just getting an interview with Dave Dienstbier, so, and getting that on video. So that was, again, kind of different. But interview appointments are awesome. Get as many as you can. Booth tour appointments, I don't really recommend except for Nintendo or something like that that's going to be really, really crowded. For the most part, a booth tour appointment, they'll lead you through and show you all these games that you really probably don't care about, most of them. And then when they finally do get to the games that you're interested in, if you're in the media, you probably know 3 times as much about the game as they do. And it's all kind of pointless. The best appointments are with small companies. They'll talk to you a lot more. They have more interesting things to say. They're a lot more open to feedback. Appointments with large publishers are just kind of silly. They have so many people that they're trying to accommodate, and they have so much going on. We went to some appointments with publishers that we ended up not even meeting with anyone from the company because they had so many people waiting for an appointment. We just left. It was ridiculous. There was no point to even staying there. Not when GameCube is 200 yards away and we could go be playing that instead of sitting there and waiting on people. So I'm not going to name names, but really appointments with big publishers turn out to be the crappiest, and the ones that sound kind of dumb on paper usually turn out to be the coolest, actually. So that's how it goes. I think in some of the other diary entries, I said something about, you know, how especially when we're in the internet cafe updating after the press conference, the internet personalities and the real life personalities started to converge together, you know, and I started seeing these as the people that they really are, which is actually a combination of the things that come out over the internet and the things that come out over actual real life interaction. And honestly, by the third day of the show, it's hard for me to even imagine those people as two separate entities. We hung out so much together and had so many great times together and talked so much, and you know, when you take ordering food for 20 people is an event. it's a challenge. It all works out so great, you know, staff meetings and everybody's talking and shouting, and we're setting things up for the next day. The experiences that we shared together, I'll never forget. And it's pretty amazing that I felt so close to all those people when I, you know, technically speaking, I only met them 2 or 3 days earlier. The fact is that we actually knew each other a lot better because of all the time that we spent together on the internet. And it just took my mind a little time to kind of assimilate that into these people. And once they did, I realized, you know, I talk to these people every day. I work with these people every day. This isn't that much different, just being around them, you know. And when we left Sunday, it was really sad for me. It was really sad. Especially because we left so early in the morning that a lot of people are still asleep and I didn't get to say goodbye to them. And then at the same time, I had to temper that, knowing that there's not really that much point in saying goodbye to them when I'm going to be talking to them the next day. You know, rationally speaking, that's true. But, you know, emotionally, it feels bad just to leave and have not gotten to say anything to some of those people before I left. And it really sucks knowing that I'm not going to get to see them again, probably for a long time. I don't know if it'll be next year's E3, hopefully before then, but, you know, obviously it's going to be months before I get to interact with these people in that way again. So it was actually a very happy time when I finally got back to my computer and turned it on, and I could talk with them again, because by the time I did that, a lot of them were already home. And you know, it was awesome getting to, you know, be with them kind of again. And so it's like we never really left. At the same time, now, again, there's just kind of a weird paradox going on where it feels even weirder now talking to them online than it did when I first met them in real life, talking to them in real life. Because now, you know, like, I'm on Instant Messenger and I talk to these people and I see their names pop up every time they say something, and I have a face to go with it and a voice to go with it and, you know, all these mannerisms and things like that. And I never had that before, and it forces me to completely change the way I look at internet conversations with these people. It's very strange, you know. It's difficult to describe, but it was kind of a weird feeling to get over at first. And I'm doing better now after a couple days of it. But I'm definitely going through some post E3 depression. You know, spending, I guess, four of the most exciting days you could possibly imagine. And then coming back to home, and everything's the same as when you left it before. And all of a sudden it's the summer and there's not really anything to do. And starting a new job, which means, you know, I have to work, and it's not fun. It makes money, which I'll use to buy fun things, but, you know, nobody looks forward to going to work, really. It's strange thinking that, you know, just a few days ago I was in California having some of the best days of my entire life and hanging out with all these friends and getting to play the best games in the world. And now I'm back home, and I don't have any of that. It's very depressing, and I think everyone that goes to E3 has this phase. And eventually you get over it, and you get more comfortable with your normal life. But there's definitely a release about going to E3. Especially if you're like me, and you don't have a lot of friends who are really into gaming, or certainly not to the degree that you are. And you go to E3 and you're with thousands of people who are. And especially if you're in close contact with a lot of people like our PGC staff, just to sit down at dinner and talk for hours about fighting games, you know? It seems ludicrous now to think of it, but it's totally natural when you're there. And I can't think of really anyone, you know, around in my normal life
that I could do anything even remotely close to that. A lot of people, I bring up, you know, my website or E3 or anything like that, or the new game coming out, and they just kind of like, yeah, and they tune me out. They're not really interested. It's a bizarre situation, at least, maybe not for everyone, but for me, to go to a place where I can talk about games without having to feel guilty about it, or without feeling that I'm boring anyone, to talk to someone who knows as much as I do, or in a lot of cases more about this stuff than I do, and we can actually have intelligent debate about it, or discussion, and things like that. It's not like in real life where most people are clueless, or they only know what I've told them about gaming. I'm talking about like family and friends and things like that. You know, there is no stimulating conversation about gaming because they know nothing about it that I haven't told them or that they haven't played, which is rare. You know, most of the games they played when I rented them. You know, and they came over to my house, or I went over to their house and we played it there, stuff like that. It's a fantastic feeling to be around that many people who share a common interest with you. And maybe if your interests are a little more mainstream or a little more common, that would be hard for you to imagine. But for someone like us, for people like us, who have such a kind of niche interest in gaming, to go to a place where there are that many people who you can talk to about that for, you know, long periods of time, get really deep into it. You know, you go to the press conference and spend the next 5 or 6 hours discussing it. That's almost absurd to even consider in you know, after coming back home to Alabama. So that's I experienced that a little bit last year, but I didn't have nearly the interaction that I did last year because the only people that went were me and a friend who was only a very casual gamer. This year I went with 15, 16, 17 other people who were very hardcore gamers, and that was definitely an awesome experience. And it, you know, I hope it's something that a lot of you will get to experience one day, because it's enlightening. It's amazing to meet people who care that much about something that you care about, especially when you're not used to knowing people like that, you know. I guess that pretty much wraps it up. It's, you know, coming back to real life sucks. It really does. E3 is so amazing, and those are some of the longest days of my life. I mean, it feels like a year ago that I left to go to California. And it seems like just yesterday that I came back, because everything, you know, once you come back, everything is like, I mean, you've played GameCube, how do you go back to N64? You've played Game Boy Advance, how do you go back to Game Boy Pocket or Game Boy Color? You know, you've been with all these gamers, how do you go back to interacting with these people who aren't? It's a difficult challenge that I don't think people realize, who haven't been, I don't think people really realize how bad it is. Yeah, no, pity party. You know, of course I feel fortunate of going. I love E3, and this year was much better than last year even, which says quite a lot, and I can't wait for next year. But, you know, at some point you start to look at it as there's E3 and then there's everything between E3s, and the stuff between doesn't really matter as much. And the unfortunate part of that is that there's a lot more of it. So I'll keep on getting by and look forward to next year. And, you know, we've got a couple hardware launches between now and then that should help me get over this depression. I'll be all right. You know, everyone will be. So, I think that that's all. And unless something unforeseen happens, and I don't think it will, this is the last you'll hear of my E3 diaries until probably next May for E3 2002. Thanks for listening, especially if you've listened to all four of these things. This one's getting pretty long already, and I hope you enjoyed them. Bye-bye.